You don't have to be positive all the time. It's perfectly okay to feel sad, angry, annoyed, frustrated, scared, and anxious. Having feelings doesn't make you a negative person. It doesn't even make you weak. It makes you human. And we are here to talk through it all. We welcome you to These Fucking Feelings Podcast, a safe space for all who needs it. Grab a drink and take a seat. The session begins now.
What is up, guys? Welcome to These Fucking Feelings Podcast. I am Micah. Got my girl Rebecca here with me and our special guest, Amanda Kirkland.
Yes, Amanda Kirkland.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yes, yes.
I was like, I don't think you could pronounce that wrong. And actually, until I was reading a little bit about you, I didn't realize that, I guess, is Mandy short for Amanda? Do people do
That is pretty much the only short. And why my bio says Amanda, never Mandy, is my parents told me the whole time I was growing up that there was an incident when I was, I don't know, when I say yay high. Let's say I was 4 or 5 and somebody went to call me Mandy and I put my hands on my hips and looked up and said, my name's not Mandy, it's Amanda.
Right.
Now, in hindsight, I don't know how, you know, valid the story was or how much it was exaggerated. Right. Because here I was just probably a cute little kid and the story was told to me in a negative way.
Oh, okay.
But I've never really been fond of it for some reason.
Yeah.
I knew a lot of
Amandas, and I knew a lot of Mandys, but never an Amanda who was called Mandy. So when I read that, I was like, oh, I know you had the cover. It was pretty weird. Anyway, Amanda, one thing we like to do here is we're going to ask you to introduce yourself to our audience, just because I don't want to leave nothing out.
Okay. I am in Ontario, Canada. For your listener audience, it's always neat to know that you've got, like, you're all over the place. And I was in real estate development for 30 some odd years. And the end of a project I was working on was coming to an end. I had to decide whether to keep doing what I was doing or find something else to do. And it looked like trying to stay in the business, I wasn't going to be able to have the same position, seniority, income, et cetera. So I started venturing down a road of looking into sort of a business that I could run myself, a service that I could offer, things that I was good to do. And then I ended up working with a coach on a business idea. And little did I know that a lot of the work was centered around personal growth, not just the business aspect of things. And she was coaching coaches, and that's not what I originally wanted to do. Anyway, long story short, through the work I did with her and my other training with Avalon Empowerment, and all the personal work I did on myself, I realized that I had been struggling with dysfunctional interpersonal relationships my whole life, be it family, in the workplace, sometimes with friends. And they caused me to be battling and struggling and, I'm going to say, fighting and trying to change situations and change people, not realizing that it was more about me not trying to change people and me trying to look at things from a different perspective. And it didn't mean that they were faultless, but I needed to control the outcome, or not control the outcome, but just control how I responded and not reacted to things. So now I'm coaching, I guess, long story. I'm coaching women and a few men who are struggling with dysfunctional and toxic relationships. I'm using, you know, my hard-lived experience and training to help them avoid a lot of the struggles I went through. And in a short period of time, because it took me, you know, till 56 to figure this out, or 52 or 53 to figure it out. So I want someone in their, you know, 20s, 30s, 40s, not to end up having all the light bulbs go on and the puzzle come together halfway through their life.
Right.
Right. What were some of those experiences that you had gone through?
Well, I was the black sheep and the scapegoat in the family. I had an eating disorder when I was in my early 20s. Probably now with all the pieces I've put together, that was manifested just by dysfunction in the family. My mother exhibited a lot of, I'm going to say, covert narcissistic characteristics. And, you know, when you're trying to piece all that together, when you're 50 some odd years old, you're like, oh, it wasn't me and I wasn't the crazy one. And I mean, I don't want to say, I don't like using that word, but, you know, there wasn't really anything wrong with me to start. But because of the, I guess, tools or lack of tools, you know, my parents had during the time, I must have been at some point reacting to things and they didn't have the tools to support me.
Right.
So it sort of, I guess, manifested in me being the one with the problem, me being the unhappy one.
So now you said that you work with people in toxic relationships. Is that because you feel like that's an area that's not really covered?
No, I think it is an area that's really covered. I think in terms of coaching, you know, no, I'm not a medical professional, but I've been through all of it and I'm on the other side of it. And I've got, you know, trauma aware training and I've got, you know, a lot of tools with my ENLP certification and quantum time release and change process. And with my clients, like, you know, I mean, I did talk therapy for years. It got me through the days, but it didn't peel back the onion and get to, I guess, the root cause of why I was struggling. And that came down to, you know, I work with the unconscious mind a lot, and the unconscious mind is from your neck down, and that 90% of your body stores in its cellular memory everything that's been said to you, done to you, every experience you've had, everything you've said you've done, and it just all compounds itself together and creates the lens through which you see the world and the way you react and walk around in it. And when I started doing the work on myself, I started to understand, you know, how I was getting triggered by certain people and situations and why. And, you know, when my clients come to me, one of the things that, you know, I like to stress, the other guy may be the bad guy, but at some point in time, we need to take responsibility of how we may also have contributed to the situation.
Right.
Like I said, every situation is different. I'm not making a blanket statement, but, you know, I know when I had, you know, a narcissistic boss who was bosses who were, you know, verbally and mentally abusive towards me, my tactic would be, you know, either to go in and be completely emotional, which got used against me because I was, feeding right into their hands. Or, you know, sort of calling them out or poking the bear. And I was doing all the wrong things. And I was trying to change them and get them to come around to my way of thinking. And like now, like, I'm not wasting my energy on that.
Right.
I'm glad I'm not a bad boy.
Uh-huh.
Hey, I've always been a very dedicated, honest, hardworking employee or consultant, to the point where, you know, and it was, I'm going to say, criticized for taking my job too personally and having too much personal involvement and pride in what I was building and developing. And like, who wouldn't want that in someone?
I think we get criticized for that like every day.
Being passionate about what you do.
It's pretty crazy. Now we talk about toxic. Toxic doesn't necessarily have to be like, So we're saying, like, when we use the word toxic, it doesn't have to be like a huge event, you know, like we talk about abuse. Like a toxic relationship could be a lot of.
No, it's I have a Facebook post running right now, and it says the silent treatment is toxic behavior. And it's interesting because it's an ad, and I myself with social media ads. I mean, I'm on social media all the time, but with ads, I pretty much delete them or like don't want to see again.
All right.
This has generated a lot of sort of back and forth and conversations in an ad. And I've had some people quite, you know, angry and say, you know, well, if I'm giving someone the silent treatment because I don't want to engage, then it's not toxic behavior. And I'm trying to explain that in the post, in the scenario, it was being used against me.
Right.
Like I was being given the silent treatment by somebody and I was desperate like to have a conversation and they just refused. And it was kind of crazy making. So, you know, it doesn't have to be like a horrendous abuse. It can be someone giving you the silent treatment, ignoring you, you know, ghosting you, accusing you of something, telling you you're making it up in your head.
Right.
You know, threats. I go back and forth with using the word toxic sometimes because I didn't know that that was the, I guess at the end of the day, the theme of where my struggles were was toxic and dysfunctional relationships. So, you know, I want to be able to educate my clients too, or people who are reading what I write, in advance so that they know what the red flags are.
Right.
Right.
Oh, sorry. I thought Rebecca had something for me.
No, go ahead.
So what is something that people can look into or try to notice in order to figure out how that they're in a relationship? Like how would a person recognize, like I might be in a toxic relationship?
Verbal abuse, you know, name calling, insults, belittling, gaslighting, where you start to doubt, you know, what you've done and what you've said. And that kind of makes you start second guessing yourself. You know, isolating, being isolated from friends and family. I know that I remember telling a friend a number of years ago that he'd already moved X distance away. And I was concerned about him moving further out of the city with his then spouse because I'd seen it happen in my own parents' relationship that, you know, my father became more and more isolated from his friends in the outside world, you know, when they got out of the big city into a small town. Silent treatment is something I've mentioned. You know, I was talking to a potential client yesterday and another one the day before, and they had both gotten out of, well, one had been, I'm going to say, dumped and the other one had exited herself from relationships, but they also wanted the closure with a person.
Right.
And they wouldn't give it, which, you know, we all know it's like sending an email out, like, or a text. Like, can't you just, even if it's one of those thumbs up? does that give you a bit of a.
No, definitely. And then also, can it be, I guess, like avoiding, can avoiding kind of be toxic? Like people who don't want to talk about things, don't want to talk things through and avoid.
Absolutely. And, you know, withholding affection, blame shifting, you know, threats.
Right. Now, is it the thought that these are relationships you need to get out of, or are some of them okay to try to work through?
Good question.
I'm only going to speak from my personal experience, and this is, I'm being completely honest. I think that there are some people that it doesn't matter what you do.
Right.
It's not going to change. And I mean, we can't, you know, they say people aren't broken, but, you know, we can't fix and take responsibility for somebody else's behavior.
Right.
And, you know, the problem is not everybody is I'm going to say financially, and I'm going to say emotionally in a position to be able to just, you know, my solution is not just get up and walk out. Like, it's not that easy. But if you need to stay in a certain situation for a short period, a long period of time, you know, there are steps you can take, you know, and it's just the way you start addressing things, your communication style can change. You start setting boundaries if it's safe to do so.
Right.
But like I said, in some situations, you know, I would definitely not take on something that was, you know, where I saw some danger going on there. Right. Nor would I advise a client to start, you know, standing up for themselves and setting firm boundaries when they've explained to me that their partner has a, you know, angry streak, so to speak.
Okay. So your clients can be someone who's currently in this situation and they're trying to get out?
Yes. And you know, a lot of it is doing work on self and building confidence, because when you're in those sorts of situations, you know, you think you're always the one that's done something wrong.
Right.
Your confidence, you know, isn't the highest. And, you know, you need someone to sort of guide you on that journey and keep you accountable for the changes you're trying to make in your life. Right. And, you know, I call a strategy is how you sort of handle a certain situation. And they say how you do one thing is how you do everything. Well, if you're doing one thing and it's not working, we need to come up with something new. Definitely. And you need to practice that over and over and over. And then you're going to journal me and tell me, you know, this happened today and I use this new strategy and this happened, et cetera. Okay. So,
Do therapy for relationships, obviously, as we've been talking about, but do you focus on individual people and where they're going with their own personal growth, as in just
a relationship with self?
Yeah, it is. It is relationship with self. And, you know, I have done some group masterclasses. I prefer doing the one-on-one.
Right.
I like doing the podcast, even though I'm not the best speaker in the world. I think I've done about 46 this year.
Okay. Wow. That's
so it's a new muscle I'm building. Like, I've been in the situations, like I said, I've got the training, et cetera, but it's, you know, I've pivoted.
Right.
But I also realize that if that many people have been interested, like, I'm not here to tell my story. I'm just here to show that, you know, my little catchphrase, you can go from toxic to terrific. Like, if I look back 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, like the things that have happened and fallen into place since I started on this journey, and I was already working on stuff before.
Right.
It's like, it's life changing, the shifts that have happened.
It's pretty cool. So now, to a person who's watching, I'm asking you to give some advice, right? Because you know, my best friend stayed in a relationship for 2 years. Alcoholic. She believed she couldn't find anybody else.
Sorry, you said alcoholic. It broke up a little bit.
Yeah, I had a best friend who was in a relationship for 2 years, and she was in a relationship with an alcoholic, and basically was alcoholic. But she didn't want to be scared of being by herself. So, you know, it's like she knew she was in a bad relationship, but she still felt like she couldn't be by herself. What would you say to someone like her?
I don't think there's much you can say until she hits the point where she realizes there's an exit point. I mean, you can listen, right. You can be there, you can support. And you know, I think it's listening and being there, because like I said, you can't change other people. You can't change her not wanting to leave this person. You know, I had a very, very close friend, while he's still a close friend, who, you know, will be 4 years sober next month. And we actually just had an exchange yesterday. And he was, you know, thanking me and patting me on the back for sticking around. And I'm like, I've got to be honest, I deserve that pat on the back, because it was not like he was doing something about it. But I said, it wasn't easy. And I had, there were some very uncomfortable times and I had to take steps back. And, but all that said, I had people telling me, like, oh, so you're going to distance himself, or you're going to cut him off, or you're going to do this. And I wasn't open to hearing that.
Right.
A couple of times it got to the point where I was ready to like walk off, but I admit that may not be the answer you want. If she's safe in terms of like physically and mentally,
right.
You know, but I think if you can be there for her,
yeah, I was using her example. She finally eventually got over it, but I felt like it took a lifetime.
I bet.
She's in a pretty good relationship. But it was just the example I thought about. It's be crazy. And I wanted to stir. She was about to not be safe with me.
Sorry, what was that?
I said she was about to not be safe with me.
Yeah. It is really difficult. And I mean, all that said, I had, you know, the longest friend I've had in my entire life. And I finally had enough and said something, and she just exited, and that was it. And I was the bad guy.
Yeah.
So
me too.
Pardon me?
The same sort of thing happened to me.
Really?
Yeah.
It sucks.
It was a very toxic relationship. It was all those things that we kind of talked about. And finally, just one day, it was like, I don't know, it came to a head, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't spoken since.
And are you the bad guy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What? I haven't cut nobody off yet, but I feel like maybe I'll get there soon.
I didn't mean to get it cut off. It just happened.
And I didn't in that instance, but, you know, in hindsight, whether it was in the boardroom with a friend, I would definitely approach things in a different way. And I know I'd basically had it up to here. So when this incident happened, I finally went, you know, I've just had a bleep and I can say it on here. I've had a fucking awesome day.
Right.
And I'm like, you just hijacked my entire night. I'm not letting you do that again. And she snapped. That's the exact thing that came out of my mouth. And I know I shouldn't have said it that way. I should have somehow, you know, the next day said, you know what, when it comes to the guys you're dating from now on, you know, I'm setting boundaries. This is what we discuss. This is what we don't. You keep asking for advice and turning around and do the opposite thing. I can't take it anymore. You know, it's drama. And laid it out like that. It still probably would have gone over like a lead balloon, but.
Of course.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I always say those were like the friendships that weren't real. It was something that complimented, you know, it was like something about you that complimented her in a way. It's just my opinion.
I started doing this different work, and I don't think I was as receptive energetically to some of that stuff, you know, which happens. I know you mentioned not Micah having not like left situations or people. You know, in the case of my parents and one sibling, I've been estranged for 10 years, and it was self-preservation.
Right.
And not everyone can do that. It's certainly not widely accepted either. I was financially in the position and of an age that I could do it.
Right.
But again, you know, that was 10 years ago, but the load kept getting lighter and lighter and lighter and lighter.
To like lighten my load because I'm kind of like an empath and I take on a lot of energies and situations. But it's really hard for me. You know, I'm a lot kind of like the example you use. You know, like every day for me is just a good day. I'm just one of those people, you know, like I really don't have any personal stress. A lot of my stress comes from everybody else, you know, and their stress, you know. And I think about yesterday, Halloween. I dressed up for Halloween and it was a real cool day and it was just kind of cool. And I liked my outfit and I thought I looked fabulous, but like everybody around me was breaking down and crying and having these attacks. And I'm like, I don't want to answer the phone. Like, I don't want to deal with this shit. I just want to have my great day, go to sleep and wake up tomorrow, have another great day, you know? But sometimes part of me, like, I feel guilty about wanting that freedom in life, and it's, I'm working on it. I'm a work in progress.
And you know what? I know one thing that, like, I've worked very hard to create what I have right now. And I know for years and years, it was a criticism. Again, it was like, you just want this perfect little world and everything to, and it's like, that's not the way the world works. And now I'm like, you know what? I've actually got it.
Right.
And I have had two people reach out to me who, like I said, I've estranged myself. Anyway, they reached out and one was thinking it was time to just rekindle and carry on. And the other was kind of like, am I still blocked? You know, I'd like to keep in touch. And I didn't realize, and it, not that I need validation for what I did, right, but it physically made me feel sick, scared, threatened.
Right.
That someone was going to come in and shake up.
Right.
What you already have.
What I already have now. I mean, someone could say, well, does it mean you've healed from all of it and you're okay with all of it? We're still human beings at the end of the day. Like, you know, it's easy to say, don't get triggered by that. Don't get triggered. But to have the tools not to get taken out of the game, like I know I would get taken out of the game for, you know, whether it's a week, a month, I'd have to talk to everybody about it and discuss it. Now it's kind of like, okay, this happened. This is how I feel. Okay, if your body just went into that automatic, almost like, you know, what was it? It was like a trauma response.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. And I've never really admitted, you know, because I don't think what I went through was really as bad as a lot of people's stories, but I guess it's all relative, right?
It is. And that's one of the big things that we trauma is trauma. There's no scale. Like, if there's no scale to sin, then there's no scale to trauma, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, yeah.
A situation with my sister, actually, kind of relationships that I had to pull back from. She and I tried to build the relationship back up, because, you know, she's my sister, but over time, it's much like you, kind of when I see her calling or I know that she's trying to reach out, it's like that little, I don't know.
Red flag, alarm goes off.
Little feeling of,
yeah,
no, what's this going to bring into my life? So it's funny you say that, because I never really figured out what it was that was happening when I would... It's just that little trauma from the situations she put me through not too long ago. So that's interesting. That's probably.
Yeah. It was an email from my dad. Like I said, I'm an open book. I never say I had a great upbringing. Didn't want for anything, but I didn't have the emotional support I needed.
Right.
And I think that they did the best they could with the tools they had. But at the end of the day, I got to figure it out on my own and take care of myself. And yes, they were my parents, but you know, you do you and I'm going to do me. But when I, it was him that had reached out, and him and my sister both did, because I found out my mother had died this summer.
Oh, wow.
And like I said, we'd been estranged for 10 years. So the timing of it is after that, it's like, oh, okay, so she's gone, so now we can carry on. But when I saw the email, and all it said is I saw his name, and it said, am I still blocked? First thing that went through my mind is, I never blocked you. Right. Second, get off my screen right now. And I put it in a file that does say dad on it, which I should get rid of. But anyway, and I kind of just sat on it. And then a couple of hours later, you know, when we'd finished for the day, I was talking to my boyfriend and I went to tell him, and all of a sudden my hand started shaking.
Wow.
And my whole body, I had a physical reaction to it. And I was like, yeah, there's something up there. So Rebecca, you know, if that makes you, like, I remember when I was just doing the original, like, estrangement or leading up to it and setting boundaries, and the dread of seeing the phone go with one of their names come up, like, right. It was terrifying. And I'm not suggesting you were terrified, but, you know, go with your gut and tread gently. You know, I know when one sister tried to, I don't know what she was trying to do, but my other sister kind of said, you're called the crazy aunt. Don't trust her. Okay. So just protect yourself.
Definitely.
Yeah, for sure.
I get scared every time. It doesn't matter who it is. I manage truckers. We both do, actually.
Sorry, you manage
truckers?
Truck driver. Yep.
And anytime they call me and it is not normal work hours, it's like my heart starts pumping and I'm like, oh God. And I think of every worst possible situation. I don't know why we do that to ourselves sometimes, but it's like, you letting the phone ring, just answer it and find out what's going on, you know? But,
well, and that said, when I got one of the original email from my sister and it was on LinkedIn, I wasn't going to respond to it. I was going to go silent treatment. And then I had a discussion with Sean about it. And he's like, if you do that, you're going to wait till the other shoe drops.
Right.
So I'm kind of probably in that same position with the email, like, but I don't want to engage. I don't want that back in my life.
Yeah.
And no. If I sent the message to her, surely he has it.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Sure. That makes sense.
So just a funny aside, not a funny aside, but let's call her my sister from another mister. There's a funny story there, but not for today. She actually was, she just sent me a photo the other day. She was a truck driver in Australia, but she sent me a picture of this truck and it was the front cab. And I think four more. So it was like, I did the math on it and I'm like, is that like a 32 or 48 wheeler? And this is a woman. I mean, she's a tough one, but it was, yeah, it was, well, it's an 18 wheeler,
right? So
the front cab and the back piece.
Right.
And then there were two more 18 wheelers behind it. And that's what she used to drive.
Sheesh.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Sheesh.
Oh, Spanish girl. But I couldn't be one. I couldn't be in a car that long. It just drives me crazy. Some of these guys do like 12 hours a day. And I'm like,
one of these guys got a turkey flew through his windshield yesterday. So, you mean,
oh, really?
Lord, yeah. Anything comes out of the sky at these guys.
True, yeah. And this is the second time that we actually had someone who had a turkey through their window.
Oh, my God.
His truck. So,
yeah,
anything happens in these crazy days. So,
I know you talk a lot about love as well. And we're kind of focusing season three on love. So why do you incorporate that? Why is it so important in the work that you do?
I'm not quite following.
Love, like you talk a lot about love. I've seen a lot about love on your website and just in things you talk about. I guess, is it self-love?
Self-love.
Yeah. Sorry. I was like, huh?
Oh, I was what? Like, let's include the word self, like self kind of love.
Yeah, no, and it is. I mean, we've got to take care of ourselves before we can and be like healthy in mind and body and spirit and soul, you know, so that we go out into the world and we spread that energy versus us bringing toxic, negative energy out. Like, I'm sure there's a lot of people that didn't want to be around me or were sick and tired of hearing, you know, me go on. But it's, you know, I've just recently moved out of the city into a, you know, smaller neighborhood, and like I'm seeing the way I'm being received by other people now, like in particular other women. And, you know, I'm like, this never happened before. You know, I was at a networking event, you know, and there to promote business, but also, you know, make connections. Right. And I had two women just reach out to me after that were like, you know, I want to have a coffee, like in person, and didn't get to chat much. And I was like, okay, this is happening to me now. It's like, and it never, and I have nothing shitty to discuss. Like, you know, technically everything's good. I mean, I had a few challenging months just, you know, moving from living with someone for the first time to, like, you know, then buying together and moving in together. And it wasn't someone moving into my space and there was finance. So I was like, I was hitting all sorts of stuff, but I'm processing it all differently for the most part. And yeah, just, so I guess the self-love and the self-care, it's like, you know, I invested a lot of time and money in myself. And it was accidental. I didn't set out to do it, but it's the best thing I did.
Definitely.
That's great.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, too.
For sure. I've been chomping at the bit to ask about, and I don't mean to change the subject suddenly. It's one of those things that happens in my mind.
Yeah.
I sit on something for so long because that's just me. Anyway, the quantum release, time release, and the quantum change process, I have just been dying to know exactly what that is or more about that.
A lot of it is, well, it's work with the unconscious mind. The quantum time release is basically, it's a script, and I guide the clients through sort of a journey, and it's a bit of a, you're releasing negative emotions and limiting decisions, and your unconscious mind won't release anything until it knows it's safe and you're ready to start handling it. So, you know, when you're releasing, without getting into the nitty gritties, you know, you're going sort of floating up with your eyes closed and out into the beautiful universe. And there's an event, and it doesn't have to be a specific event, but it's like, you know, I learned, when you're talking about releasing anger, for example. So it could be there was a situation, and it just brings awareness to stuff that you may not have had awareness. And then the quantum change process is the same sort of, like, a bit of a meditative journey, where we're going through your family of origin, significant love relationships, and it's forgiveness work. So not, what's the right word? Not saying that their behavior was excusable, but it's, you know, saying you made me feel, and then I forgive you for, and looking at it from the perspective that there was a reason the person behaved that way. So all of it is just what your unconscious decides it's going to come up with. So it lightens the load. Cause when you come out of it, you know, there's a lot of stuff you've probably said and feelings you had, and that you're in a safe space releasing.
Gotcha.
I hope that answers your question.
It does. It absolutely does. Yes.
I'm going to tell you what it did for me, right? I'm watching this show on Hulu called The Clearing.
Yeah.
Have you heard about it or watched?
I don't know if I have, but it is a clearing process.
Right. But this is kind of negative. It's like, it's kind of crazy to put them all together, but it just made me kind of doing a yoga class, and it was kind of like a woman empowered type of yoga class, you know, like, don't let men do this, and don't this, and stop letting people, you know, make choices for you. And,
yeah. This isn't anything like that.
I know, but it got to a point where they were like meditating, and she told her, she says, think of something, like, think of your paradise. Think about what your happiness will look like. And she pictured her husband's funeral.
Ooh, okay. Uh-huh.
So that, like, a couple of days later, he ends up dying. So, you know, it's like about manifesting and stuff like that. Like I said, it was a really bad example, but when you were talking, because I just
where your mind was going, yeah.
I just saw the episode yesterday, and I was like, you know.
There's no prompting here. There's no, none of it is like context. So we're not reliving the trauma. We're trying to, you know, shake it up and break it apart and release it.
Right. And now you brought up family origin. Why is that important in the healing process?
Because that's where we basically start.
Right.
So, you know, it's your parents are the ones that from you coming into this world as a completely innocent little child. And then, you know, the sometimes not very nice world gets its teeth into you. You know, they're your caregivers. They're your teachers. Like, you know, I was told I wasn't born with the proper coping skills. And when I've told some people that now, they're like, well, you weren't supposed to learn them yourself.
Right.
Nobody's born with.
No. Well, your parents were supposed to teach you them or. So then you're looking at parents. And when you try to look back at, let's say, their parents, and I didn't know a lot about my grandparents, but I can now piece together the bit things I do know and go, oh, that's why she was like this or he was like this, or they weren't strong enough when it came to this, that, or the other, or they were behaving this way because they obviously didn't feel like they were good enough. So it's understanding like that history. And, you know, there's, when you talk about generational trauma, I mean, it's also breaking those patterns. And if estranging yourself, you know, means breaking a pattern. I mean, I didn't have children, but my other sister did, who's estranged. And one of the reasons she wanted to do that was because she didn't want her sons to be subjected to that dysfunction. So it's breaking those repeating patterns.
Right, definitely. Now, is there like a stage in a person's healing process where they should seek your services? Or is it something that you can start with the ground up from?
I think people get to a point where, you know, they've done as much as they can on their own.
Right.
And, you know, you can go to a weekend retreat, you can read lots of books. You can go talk to, and I'm not bashing armchair therapy because I did it for years. It got me through things. I think it's more advanced or different than it is now, but I went and rehashed what had happened.
Right.
And, you know, he was on my side. When you're doing coaching, it's more like pushing the client to look at themselves and doing the work on themselves. Cause the other person, like, you know, yes, we can work on how you're going to get through it, but the other person or the work scenario, you know, because that's one of the other ones that's a big focus is, you know, dysfunctional leadership. And I think somebody needs to be at the point where they tried a lot of things, they're fed up, they've had it, because you got to really want it.
Right.
Sure.
And if someone wants to start from the ground up, have at it. That's great too.
Right.
It's just acknowledging that you want to do, really want to do that work is huge.
Yeah, right.
For sure. Definitely have to be willing to put in the work and ready to hear something.
I know part of my issue was when I started uncovering my trauma, I started realizing how much trauma there was. And I was like, there is no person that's going to want to deal with me and all this shit.
I'm sure there is. I'm sure there's. So have you dealt with it?
I am still with it. I'm still kind of like in my healing process.
Yeah.
But I did conventional therapy too. I had a therapist for 2 years. It was like you. I mean, it taught me how to talk, which was like a really great benefit because I needed to get things out.
Get it out. Yeah. I never had a problem getting it out. And that was one of the problems. I kept at home. I kept explaining why I was unhappy or why I was this. And it was like falling on deaf ears and they didn't get it. So talking and getting things out is, I believe, very healthy.
It is. It is.
For sure.
I didn't do it for so long. I went through a lot of sexual stuff when I was younger. So I was taught to be mute, basically. So, you know.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
It happens. But to actually find a therapist who got me talking, and I was like, you know what? fuck it, I'm gonna take this chance. You asking all these questions. I'm gonna tell you why I feel. Yeah, I'm gonna tell you why I feel the way I feel when I feel like this. But
no, well, you know what? Good for you, because that's like sharing your story and owning. Like I referenced earlier, I had a call yesterday and then one the day before with potential clients, and you know, they booked a 30-minute call with me. They got on the phone and basically revealed all.
Right.
You know, a couple of secrets too, so to speak. And there were a couple of tears. And I was like, you know what? I'm really proud of you. Like getting on and just sharing that with a complete stranger. Definitely. That's huge.
Right. I mean, it's something that we believe in. Of course, is the reason why I have this podcast. I started healing. And in healing, I started to find peace. And I was like, Okay, this exists. You can like go to sleep and not worry about shit. Like, this is nice. But then my problem is because I want to share everything. I feel like everybody should know what this is like. You know? So, yeah. So the message is, you have trauma, deal with it. Okay? Because if you're not dealing with your trauma, you're never going to find peace.
No.
So, you know.
And I mean, it's easier said than done, because like I said, I try to say it's relative. So, you know, I would think that I'd want to shut up about my story when I found out about yours, because it's, in my opinion, it's like nothing.
I've said the same exact thing to him.
Yeah. But I just feel like everybody's story, it's your own. And that's what makes us, you know. It's like, we don't have to compare trauma, because I feel like a paper cut, if that's the worst you experience, can be the bad as me having cancer, you know?
Yeah. And I remember there were years and years I was like, well, it's not like it's relative in my world. Like, I don't care about everything else out there. So you're right in that sense too. And I mean, you know, I have minimalized certain things. And sometimes I probably shouldn't, because they had more of an effect on me than I realized.
Yeah. And I mean, no one can tell you your journey and how to heal and any of those things. You know, it's yours. And I'm pretty sure it's kind of what coach people into kind of have to take that journey. Is it hard to kind of get people to follow your instructions? I know that sometimes to me,
people hit their shit.
Right. They do.
Yeah. People hit their shit. And, I remember one client I was working with, I had a few suspicions about a few behavioral things, but I wasn't going to call her out on it. I was going to see what transpired. And there was one day that, you know, I'd got a message. We were supposed to have a session. And then like 2 minutes before, she canceled. And my spidey sense was like, okay, I'm not quite buying this. Right. So as per the contract, I was like, you know, I have to charge you a cancellation fee because there wasn't 24 hours notice and blah, blah, blah. Well, she lost it. And like, you know, basically, how dare you? And, you know, my doctors don't even do that and this, that, and the other. And I remember going to like a coaching support call, and I was pretty like, you know, she kind of took a strip out of me. And then it was like, where were you at? What session were you at? And I was like, well, we just finished doing this and this and this. And they're like, yeah, that's the bifurcation point. You shook everything up.
Right.
And she freaked out.
Right.
And then I did discover that during the same time period, she had fired her best friend of 25 years.
Jeez.
Ouch.
So, yeah, I mean, but it didn't take me out for that long, but I was still like, oh my God, am I not doing stuff right? But she was ready to get halfway through, but not ready to take responsibility for some of her behaviors. And when I pushed it,
right,
too much.
Yeah,
if she was willing to come back, would you let her?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, cool. Just making sure.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It was, you know, I mean, I've been backed into a corner.
Definitely.
In my life historically, and I'm still not. Someone tries to do that to me, I don't respond to that well.
Right, right.
And I wasn't trying to do that, but I was like, okay, I mentioned earlier about new strategies, right? So I was like, okay, when this happens with your ex-husband or this happens with your son, you know, when you use this new one, like, write about it. And I was like, I don't want to lose momentum because we didn't have the session this week. And it was all very nice, not like hard ass, but it was still like, this is your homework and you got to do it. And, you know, if you don't, we agreed there's a consequence that you're not going to watch. I didn't put that in the email, but that you're not going to watch Netflix for two nights this week, because that was one of her coping strategies.
Netflix.
Yeah. So it's like I said, it's hard work.
Well, you are not taking away my fruit roll-ups.
Oh, Lord.
Okay, so just gonna let you know that is my.
You guys are funny. I love this.
There has been several.
Yeah, I mean, my fruit roll-ups is a thing. People keep trying to take away. They got their own pillow on my bed where I lean the box.
He's crazy.
I like wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning with my yuck mouth and like eating fruit roll-ups. Yeah. I'm addicted.
I think he needs help with that.
I do.
He needs hypnotherapy to get rid of the fruit roll-up addiction.
And I had someone, one of our guests that came on, and she was like, well, you can get like natural.
After he eats those at 3 a.m. and the sugar sitting in there and just decaying his teeth.
No, actually, my teeth are pretty good.
I'm glad they are.
I worry about that too. But you know what? I'm about to buy me a smile, so then I don't got to worry about it.
Lord.
So how long have you been doing this? I did want to know that. Like, how long, I guess, number one, how long have you been on your healing journey yourself? And then how long have you been coaching others?
I mean, I've been coaching for the last 3 years, but my healing journey has been ongoing without even knowing it half the time. But I mean, I guess even getting over the eating disorder was the start of the healing journey. And that would have been in my early, so 30 years. But I didn't have the stuff that I've learned the last few that was the most important. And those are the pieces of puzzle that we're missing. So if I can take those, you know, and give them to my 33-year-old self.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not complaining about where I am now because I managed to get here.
Definitely.
And there was a reason, obviously. Right. You know, I'm not spiritual, but there must have been a reason.
Right.
You know, I don't believe that when some people have gone down horrible paths, but, you know, Mika, there's no way I want to say to you there's a reason that happened to you as a child so that you're sitting here today doing this and speaking to people, because that just sounds like, I got goosebumps saying that. Like, that's kind of sick.
Yeah, no, I say the same thing.
Yeah.
I hate when people say that too. Like, everything happens for a reason. I'd be like, whose reason?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not, I say that in my scenario, but at the same time, I'm like, but why did I also have to go through that? Why didn't I get those 20, 25 years that everybody else had where they were, you know, had a great group of friends. I'm sure everything wasn't perfect, but, you know, they married, had a couple of kids, you know, did regular Christmas, Thanksgivings and Easters. And I was doing dysfunctional ones and then them on my own for 10 years. And, you know, I had my first Halloween yesterday. I've always lived in condos or like apartments, and we're in a house now. It was my first Halloween at 56.
Wow.
In an actual house.
Nice.
And Sean decorated the front with, you know, dollar store stuff, and we carved the pumpkins, and I counted 70 kids.
Wow. You know what? I had some kids knock on my door yesterday, and I was so mad that I forgot to get candy.
Why didn't you give them some fruit roll-ups?
Yeah,
that's
right?
Mine. Okay. They belong to me. Okay. And I know that it is.
Greedy. Those little kids went home with nothing.
I know it's my comfort food or my guilty pleasure. It is all those things. It just makes me feel better.
Lord.
I could just eat a fruit roll up and go to sleep.
You know what? I'm like that with my hollandaise sauce. I don't like sharing it with anybody.
There you go. Everybody has a thing. I don't have a single thing.
Mm-hmm. So you gonna wait till we almost over to start lying to Amanda? So now, Amanda, before we do close out, is there anything that you want to share with our audience that we didn't allow you to say?
No, I think it was more of a, you know, a free for all. I hope your audience, you know, takes away maybe a little tidbit here. I mean, I wasn't on here to advise or coach. It was more, you know, see that it is possible,
right,
to go from having all these struggles to like creating a life that you're really happy with. And, you know, that it doesn't mean you're not going to still get challenges, but, you know, you've got different supports and different tools to manage the scenarios than you may have before.
Right. Perfect. Definitely. Now I'm going to ask you for some advice, right? Because that's why I do this, for free therapy. So nice. I told you guys, or everybody knows, I mean, I talked about it before, but I kind of went through a lot of sexual assault and all those things. And it was at the hand of men. And so I have an issue with men touching me. Just, you know, you're in a club and people walk past you and they grab your waist and but for my whole life, I had female barbers, and I just got a male barber. But the emotional stress that I go through to go to this barber, to let him cut my hair, and he's touching my neck, and then he has to shape up around the lips, and like my stomach hurts, and now I'm like sweating, and I'm like, can you turn a fan on? And they're like, it's 3 degrees in here, you know? And it's like, is that healthy? Would you think that's healthy? I mean, as far as me still doing
it, I think it's completely a normal reaction. I mean, like I said, I have an email come up.
Right.
And it's a name that brings me back to the past. Is it going to get easier? I certainly hope so. I mean, there are, I'm trying to remember what the name of it, because I have a modality and it's an exercise. And one of my training coaches did it with me. And it was like basically a fear, because I sometimes get panic attacks driving, and I was having to do a night drive. And we were on a call one day, and he's like, do you want to do this? I'll have to look it up, and okay, I'll email it to you. Because it's sort of like it's a one pager, but it's like you can almost do it before going in. But that's normal. That is like, and good for you.
It's normal, but sometimes I question, like, I keep going back. Like, why do you keep putting your body through this? Like, are you so vain? Because the haircuts are really, really good. Yeah. But it's like,
well, that's the other part. Like, right, like, do you want to go meet the perpetrator again, or, you know, be on the witness stand and like be facing them? I mean, if that's, you know, triggering and putting your body into that much stress, then it's not safe.
Right.
So, right, you know, go back to a female barber. I mean, you may have just done it to challenge yourself, to show yourself,
right,
where you're at. And maybe, you know what, you've done it once, you weren't comfortable, you know, go back to the females, and maybe another year from now, you'll try it again.
Yeah, I'm actually not really ready to give it up yet.
Oh, okay.
I feel like it's something, I just kind of wanted to get your opinion. I kind of always, like I said, got to get your advice off of here. I'm not ready to give it up yet. I feel like I'm starting to, like, now. For a long time, I was like, damn, every time I go to the barber, I get sick. You know, I wasn't putting two and two together. Now I'm understanding why I get sick. So even though it is traumatizing, it is also healing me, because I'm starting to learn, like, those things that trigger me that I didn't realize triggered me.
Well, this is like me in driving certain, right, places and night and whatnot. I'm like, hey, you got to do this.
Right.
But right, it's scary.
It is scary. And I do know that if it ever gets to the point where I don't feel safe, or it becomes too much, that I do need to stop. You know, I'm not addicted to my barber or nothing, but I still am not giving up my fruit roll-ups.
Gotcha.
All right, cool. Well, of course, we're going to list all of your contact information in the episode, on our website, and all those kind of things. Any last minute words for our people? We are focusing on love, so I want you to give some love advice to our audience.
Oh, love yourself.
Love yourself. Yes.
Very simple, right? The, yeah, best it advice is ever.
And the rest will follow.
Okay. I hear a smash hit coming.
There it is. Yeah, it's pretty simplistic, but well, you guys have been really fun to chat with.
Yeah,
I always get told I'm not smiling enough, but I think I actually made up for it today.
You did. Yeah, I'm glad. Great. We're glad that you did it with us. Yeah, sure. Of course, we're gonna stay in contact. We're gonna pass all your information on, and I want to send you a pillow, so you have to send me your address. And yes, we can send it to Canada.
I would love one. Thank you.
Awesome. And I'll reach out and provide all the information on the episode.
Okay. Amazing.
Did you have something else to say?
I have nothing else to add. I think I did enough talking.
Me too. Thank you guys so much for watching, and we will see you next week.